Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump.
I love BJ's.
Fur Circus.
Steven Ricker's testicles.
T-butted. No touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filipula.
Filipuli. Filipalapala.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And now, Season 3, Iceman Insights, starring Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All the information you need to know about your beloved Evansville Iceman can be found at IcemanManiacs.com. How you doing, Michael?
One a season, two a seasons, three a seasons,
Nice, yeah. A little Count Dracula. Ivy.
Can you believe it? We've made it to three seasons.
Yep. We say it at the start of every season is the...
say it at the start of every show.
Well, but the fact that I contacted you and said, do you want to do an Iceman-themed show? And you said, I think we could talk for maybe 10 minutes. Now we have overtime.
Yeah, well...
goes on, never ending.
Yeah. The longest one-hour hockey show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Longest one-hour hockey show history of America.
This one might actually only stay an hour.
Well, it's going to stay an hour,
guaranteed. I tightened up the script a lot. For those who've been listening to the past two seasons, there's a few regular segments that are not in this week's show, just because it's been so long since we've done a show. So we want to get the important stuff in, and we'll bring stuff back as time allows in future episodes. But for now, we'll start with Iceman roster news. When we did our last show, which was way back on July 16th, when it was about 105 degrees.
It wasn't even that high. It wasn't even bad this summer.
No, it was nice. It was warmer than it is now, though.
It's going to be freezing this winter. It's going to be fantastic. We're already excited. Ivy's already talking about she's watching the pond freeze.
On July 16th, we didn't know a whole lot yet about the Icemen for this season. We knew Dwight Mullins was the new head coach, and Josh Beaulieu was retiring as a player to become the new assistant coach. And we only knew three player signings. We knew that Nathan Moon and Matt Lowry were coming back. And the new blood we knew of was Kale Kerbashian, coming over from the Allen Americans of the CHL.
And we loved all those signings.
And that was it. 2 months later, we now have a total of 18 players sign and announce, 9 returning players and 9 fresh faces. Also returning, joining Moon and Lowry, are Dylan Clark, who had 17 points in 39 games last year, Andre Bouvet-Morissette, who had 10 points in 23 games last year.
That's all he had? He had 10 goals, right?
I think 8 or 9. It was almost all goals. Guy Lepine, the Mean Machine, a.k.a. the Flying Sasquatch.
Yep.
13 points in 48 games. Lauren Barron also on defense, 18 points in 65 games, and Donnie Harris on defense, 7 points in 50 games last year. And the last returning player is Garrett Bartus.
Lord Bartus,
who had a .330 goals against average and a .902 save percentage in 24 games played last year for the Icemen. My question for you regarding Bartus is, we'll get to the affiliate stuff in a little bit. Assuming we get an affiliate goalie, if Bartus enters the season as your 1B or 2 on the goaltending depth chart, are you okay with that?
I am okay with that. I thought we got an opportunity to watch him develop last year. He came in, he shined in training camp, and we had Alan York, and Mike Clemente. We had no room for him. We let him go. He got a job quickly. Then Alan York gets called up. We got a trade for him back, and we knew we could never let him go. And he got a shutout last year. He got a victory in overtime in a shootout, and I think he's only going to get better. Now, granted, Dwight Mullins knows a lot more about goalies and hockey and everything else, so if Garrett doesn't make the team, there will be a reason why. But, yeah, and I think what we learned 2 years ago, our first year in the ECHL, is you've got to have a guy on your roster that you can trust for 15 games a year or 60, because you never know when the affiliate's going to have a rash of injuries and guys are going to get called up. So you've got to have that guy on the roster that can go and carry the load.
Right.
And I think Bardas can definitely do it.
Yeah. Well, and we saw it last year when Clemente got called up. I think Bardas started 9 or 10 games in a row and played pretty well during that stretch. So he played better during that stretch, really, when he was getting consistent work. Seemed like he wasn't quite as sharp when he was getting a spot start here and there. So, yeah, I think if he ends up having to carry the mail, he's up to the task if the team plays well enough in front of him. I don't know that he's quite got the talent to steal games on a consistent basis, but if you play decent in front of him, he's not going to lose games. And really, for what ideally will be a backup going into the season, you could do a lot worse than that. And I realize now, looking at this, that math is hard. I said there are 9 returning players. There's actually only 8. There's 8 returning players and 10 new players.
It's good to say it first before we're corrected on Facebook.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, new blood. We'll start with the forwards. Jarrett Lucan, a veteran. He's 30 years old with over 400 professional games on his resume. 97 points in 164 career games in the ECHL, plus 162 points in 238 career games in the CHL. He has been with the Allen Americans in the CHL for the last 5 years. Spent 3 seasons there under Coach Mullins. And 2 of those 3 years, he was their team captain. And then these last 2 seasons, while Coach Mullins was in the ECHL, Lucan and the Allen Americans won back-to-back championships in the CHL. So this is a guy that brings a veteran presence and a championship pedigree and will chip in offensively. He's not going to be a point-per-game player. But to me, when this signing was announced, it was like, this is our replacement, Josh Beaulieu.
Yep. And Dwight Mullins, he likes champions and he likes captains. He likes guys with leadership ability, so not a surprise there.
Yeah. Speaking of veterans, another veteran, Kevin Harvey, another 30-year-old. He has 454 games of professional experience over 8 seasons, and, well, he's not going to chip in offensively quite the same way Lucan would.
He's going to chip in chicklets.
Yeah. In those 454 pro games, Kevin Harvey has, well, it's not terrible. 157 points. That's not terrible, but it's not great either. But his money is made in his toughness. 2,119 penalty minutes, including, according to HockeyFights.com, 135 regular season fights in 8 seasons.
That's impressive.
That's a lot of fights. That's, I don't know, about
it's like one 8. Every 3 games.
Yeah, that's a lot of fisticuffs. And last year, he split time between Europe in the IHL in the UK and in the CHL with the Rapid City Rush. So, like Lucan, another 30-year-old veteran with over 400 games of pro experience, but he brings something completely different to the table than what Lucan brings.
Yep, I like it. And I think what's interesting, 2 years ago we had Rich Kram. He had a very older roster, did not do well, a lot of injuries. Last year, Jeff Pyle comes in. He goes very, very young, and now we're seeing more of a blend. We got a couple of veterans. I don't think we had a veteran last year, so but now we've got a couple of veterans on the team, and they're brought in for leadership / specific roles, and then they'll work all the kids in around it.
Yep. Speaking of the kids, Max Cook, a rookie who spent 3 years in the USHL juniors, including 2 of those 3 with the Indiana Ice up in Indy. In the 2 years with the Ice, he had 91 points in 117 games, and in 2009, they won the Clark Cup Championship, and one of his teammates with that team was Torrey Krug, Matt's brother.
Yeah, who doesn't have a job because he's a restricted free agent. He's threatening to go to the KHL.
Money. It's all about the money.
Yep.
And then after playing 3 years in the USHL, Max Cook went on to play 4 years at Miami of Ohio, which
great hockey program.
For those who don't know college hockey, you hear Miami of Ohio and think big deal. But Miami of Ohio is a big Division I powerhouse in hockey. So that's impressive to play there. Another rookie who played juniors in college, Dana Frazier, played 3 years in Canadian Junior A with 193 points in 156 games, and then 4 years of college hockey at the University of Prince Edward Island, where he had 68 points in 95 games. And PEI is at the top level of Canadian college hockey, essentially the NCAA in Canada. Another one who took that same route, a defenseman named R.D. Chisholm, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Chisholm.
Chisholm. Rookie, 3 years in Canadian Junior A. He had 69 points in 129 games there, and then 4 years at St. Francis Xavier University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where he had 26 points in 75 games. Those three rookies were all announced at the same time, and that's the flip side of you bring in two veterans, and then you bring in three rookies.
Yep. And Chisholm, very popular name in Canada. It's kind of like the Canadian version of Smith.
Well, how about that?
Yep.
Does it mean something in French Canadian?
Nah, I don't know.
Hoser?
Oh, I got a story about that for later.
About what? Hosers or
no,
French Canadians?
French Canadian.
Okay.
All right, I'll tell it now.
Go ahead. Yeah, we'll forget if we don't.
Ivy pulls me aside the other day and says, "Dad, Mom's been telling stories about you." And I said, "Really? What's she been saying?" She looks both ways and said, "She's been telling people you're half French Canadian."
Oh boy.
Yep.
Are you going to change your name to Guy?
That would be sweet.
Guy Benigni.
Guy Benigni. I like it.
Although if you're going to be Guy, you got to be Benini. I think Guy Benini.
Yep. So,
a goaltender, Chris Rawlings, big dude, 6'5", 220. This will be his second pro year. Last year, he bounced around the minors in his rookie season and didn't post particularly impressive numbers anywhere. In five games in the AHL, he had a .382 goals against average and an .881 save percentage. In the ECHL, he played six games with a .368 and .879 line. And in the CHL, he played 12 games, and his numbers got even worse there with a .412 goals against and an .857 save percentage. They announced Bartas and Rawlings at the same time, and my initial reaction was Bartas is the leader in the clubhouse, and unless Rawlings just absolutely shines and or Bartas just implodes in camp, based on the stats alone, I don't see how Rawlings beats Bartas out.
Well,
but who knows?
That's why you have training camp.
Exactly. Yeah. The game isn't played on paper.
Yep.
And then we had three players who earned training camp invites via the free agent camp, which was this past weekend.
Did you get
Swander out
there?
No, I was out of town.
I was too. I had an opportunity to ref it.
Really?
Yep, but I was out of town.
Yeah, I was out of town too, so I didn't see it, but there was a whole lot of comments on it on Facebook. So ask the maniacs. They'll tell you exactly what happened and probably post a bunch of fuzzy pictures while they're at it. Three forwards were invited to training camp, two rookies. The first is Dustin Gisseau?
Sure.
You're guessing just like I am.
Chisholm.
Yeah. Jesseau, a 22-year-old rookie from Ontario. He bounced around Canadian Junior A for 5 years, and last season, playing in Metro Toronto, had 65 points in just 27 games. So clearly he has some offensive skill. The question is, how will that translate to this level?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer for you.
The other rookie forward who was signed, here's a name for you, Armand Desvort.
I like it.
I guess it's Svort. I would think so. It sounds more fun than Svort. A 23-year-old rookie from Texas. That's a name from Texas you would not guess. He played 4 years of college hockey at Cornell, including some time with Patrick Kennedy. Had 7 points in 73 games there. Big dude, 6'5" and 210 pounds, and brings a physical presence. He took part in a fight during the free agent camp, according to the press release about his signing.
And Brian Vall said it was a pretty good go.
Really?
Yep.
So we know what he'll be trying to prove in camp to see if he can earn a spot on the roster. And another guy earning or trying to earn that same spot is Aaron McGill, a 25-year-old from Oregon. This will be his third straight year at training camp for the Iceman. He has not made the cut the past 2 years. He will be playing his fifth professional season in 4 years, mainly in the SPHL. He has 90 points and 655 penalty minutes in 161 games.
He had a cup of coffee with the Fort Wayne Comets last year, too, I think.
At some point, yeah. I don't know if
maybe it was right after training camp.
It might have been preseason, not regular season.
Yep,
but yeah,
I think it was. Yep.
So, yeah, there you go. That's all the players that have been signed by the Icemen. 8 returning players and 10 fresh faces, not 9 and 9 because math is hard.
Yes. And looking around elsewhere, and we just got to warn people, hey, welcome to the – this is minor pro hockey, and people are going to change teams every year, and it's just going to happen, and it doesn't matter if they're your favorite or not, and they're not doing it because they hate you, and they're not doing it because they hate the organization. It's just, you just got to go, you got to put food on the table for your babies, and it starts with a, you either loved him or hated him, and I loved him. I think he's a great guy, and I'm interested to see how this rivalry
moves
forward
things.
From here. It is going to be fantastic, because I could care less. I love drama. Not my own personal drama, but when you get to sit
hockey
back,
drama.
Any drama. When you get to sit back and watch it just exploding in front of you, that's entertainment. It's like the WWE. And here we got defenseman Matt Crew going to the Fort Wayne Comets.
Suck. Yeah, that's going to be very interesting. What my question is, what do you think, away from the on-ice stuff, because that's going to be really interesting to see indeed, how will he play against the Icemen? Will you see any little things develop between him and the players that were his teammates that maybe indicates that there were some problems there under the surface that we didn't know about? But beyond that, how will he be received the first time he comes back to Evansville?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's going to be a bunch of people booing and a bunch of people cheering.
Right.
So.
Like you said, he was one of those players that there was no middle ground. Either you loved him or you hated him, but everybody had some sort of an opinion about him. It's like in the WWE, you want the crowd to react to you in one way or another, either positively or negatively, and Matt Krug did that.
Yep. And I thought Matt played awesome last year. I think he shouldered the burden for a situation that wasn't his fault. When this team was in first place and we were jamming top three in the league, we had Guy Lapine and Larkin and Lavin and Krug. And Krug and Lapine were on that second D pairing.
Which was perfect for him.
And he got to – Guy just stayed back and was that physical presence. And Matt got to take some offensive chances, and he scored a lot of power play goals and everything else, and everything worked great. And when everyone left and Matt went from that number three, number four defenseman to the number one defenseman, he just wasn't ready, and the team plummeted. And everyone – you know, it's real easy to point at Matt Krug and say, well, he took a bad penalty here and he took a bad penalty there. But when you don't have – that we just could not replace Larkin, Lavin, and Lapine and put it all on Matt Krug's shoulders.
Yeah. Well, yes, he took a lot of bad penalties, but, when you are asked to do more, you're playing more minutes, you're playing against tougher competition, that's going to happen. You're going to take more penalties when you're not playing against the same level of competition that you're used to playing against. You have to adjust your game. And especially at this level, you know, Matt Krug is more a physical guy than he is a speed guy. He's not super slow, but when you go from playing those second line forwards to playing those first line forwards, and the speed amps up just another notch, it makes it a lot easier to take those penalties. And we saw that he struggled at times, but if you could have Matt Krug back at the right price as a second pairing defenseman, I would have been fine with that. But if you would have been bringing him back to be a first-pairing defenseman, then let him go to Fort Wayne. I'm fine with that, too. But it is going to be very interesting. Other signings, Jeremy Langlois to the AHL Worcester Sharks.
Hopefully he stays there.
Alex Aliardi, another talented forward, to the AHL Charlotte Checkers.
And hopefully he hangs on there.
Rob Madore to the AHL Milwaukee Admirals, and also earned a camp invite with the Nashville Predators, who are Milwaukee's parent club. And, of course, Milwaukee and Nashville are the parent clubs of the Cincinnati Cyclones, for whom Mr. Medora played last season on an ECHL contract, so he's working his way up the ladder.
Yep.
And I actually got to see him play when I was out of town this past weekend.
Nice.
I was in Nashville, and they had an open scrimmage open to the public at Centennial Sportsplex on Sunday. So we went to it, and for those who doubt Nashville's viability as a hockey town, Sunday afternoon or late morning, early afternoon in September, a training camp scrimmage, they had every bit of 500 people there. It was awesome. We actually got to see Medora start. We were at one end of the rink, and he started the game for his squad in the scrimmage. They did a full 60-minute, three 20-minute periods with referees and everything. He played 29 minutes and only gave up one goal on a breakaway, no less, and looked really solid. And his team won the scrimmage, so it was pretty cool.
Awesome.
Unfortunately, neither Amanda nor I were wearing Iceman garb. Otherwise, we would have tapped on the glass and been like, hey, look at us! But, I think they already have four goalies ahead of him on the depth chart, so he'll probably end up back in Cincinnati, but just the fact that he's on an AHL deal now is cool for him.
Yep.
Other guys with AHL deals, Stefan Delarovere and former disgruntled Comet Mickey Lang have both signed with your beloved Toronto Marlies.
Way to focus on the negative there. You don't want to give him props for league-leading goal scorer.
Former disgruntled Comet and league-leading goal scorer, Mickey Lang.
Love to see Mickey Lang hang on, but Marlies are stacked, so
he may end up back down in the E.
Yep.
With Orlando. Wade McLeod, former Iceman, has signed in the ECHL with the Idaho Steelheads. Also elsewhere in the league, Kevin Lynch with the Florida Everblades and Mike Seidel with the Toledo Walleye.
Good to see both of those guys get jobs.
Yes. And Jacob Johnston has signed with the Greenville Road Warriors.
I think he's going to do really well out there.
They're going to like him a lot. Elsewhere on defense, Aaron Jens has landed in the CHL with the Allen Americans. Going back a few years, Nick Schneider has signed with the Peoria Rivermen in the SPHL. Kellen Tochkin and Dallas Earhart, he of one game with the Iceman last year, have signed with the Missouri Mavericks in the CHL. And the last one to mention is Mike Clemente. Will be in the CHL with the Missouri Mavericks. He has signed a two-way AHL contract with the Chicago Wolves, who have already assigned him to the Mavericks.
Awesome.
There's one more.
Yeah, this one's a big one.
Going way back to our AHA days, Shane Heffernan has signed with the Alaska Aces in the ECHL, and it is apparently a standard contract, not a tryout. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, for those who weren't around,
still rocking that horrible mohawk thing.
Mohawk. It was like a mohawk mullet combination. It was
mullet hawk.
Yeah, it was a look, all right. He was an eclectic dude.
Yep.
He had a ton of talent.
Yes, he did.
He was one of those guys that you could see how much talent he had. He just didn't have it all between the ears. And you always thought if he could just get his head screwed on right, he could work his way up. And we'll see if he sticks. I hope he does. It would be awesome to see him come here and play. Of course, it won't be until the playoffs, but it'd be awesome to see him come here and play as a member of the opposition at this level.
Yep. Shockers Hockey Rocks Song of the Week.
So it's been a long time since we've done this show. I think it's only fitting to dust off a classic that I used to play at Swander after the Iceman got back from a long road trip. From 1976, describing what we are now, this is Aerosmith, Back in the Saddle.
Oh,
And we're back. Shocker. Dirty D. Wired. Bzz. Iceman affiliation news. Gone are the days of the birds and the BJs.
It's sad.
Yeah, and you want to talk about sad. Friggin' Ottawa, the Sens Army. Good golly.
Yeah, it's just got to get your panties in a twist over.
This is disgusting.
Oh.
Absolutely disgusting.
Yep. Our days with the Columbus Blue Jackets and Springfield Falcons are over. They are now affiliated with the Kalamazoo Wings, who have about 43 different affiliates. Our new affiliates are the Ottawa Senators and their AHL affiliates, who are the Binghamton Senators, also known as the B-Sens. It is a two-year deal for this season and 2015-16. Coach Mullins knew the people in that organization because the Elmira Jackals were the Senators' ECHL affiliate for the past 6 years, and that's where he was for the past 2 years. Ottawa and Binghamton have been together a long time, since 2002, and they are under contract to continue their affiliation through the 2018-19 season. So talk about stability. And affiliations a lot of times are kind of short-term deals, but to be they'll be pushing 2 decades by the time this current contract is up. So that's, I guess, a good sign if you're an Iceman fan wanting some stability on the affiliation front. Already been some stuff going on between the affiliates. Mullins went to Ottawa's rookie camp a couple weeks ago to meet some of the guys and kind of get his feet wet with the organization this year. And Guy Lepine is currently at Senators training camp on a tryout. I wouldn't expect him to stay, but it's just good that he's getting a look.
Well, he stayed in Utica last
year. Yeah, you never know. If nothing else, they may like him enough to sign him to an AHL deal and then send him back down so that he's under contract in their property if they ever want to pull him up.
Keep him in Binghamton.
Yeah. For him, that would be awesome. For us, that would suck.
Yep.
And something cool that was mentioned at the press conference announcing the affiliation, Ron Geary said that the Icemen and the Senators are already looking at having a Sens preseason game at the Ford Center in the future, perhaps as early as next fall. So that would be pretty cool. Geary was talking about having it be Ottawa against one of the teams that's real popular locally, the Blues or Predators or Red Wings, Blackhawks, one of the Midwestern teams. But I'm sure you would be lobbying to have Ottawa and your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs play on the Ford Center ice, wouldn't you?
Oh, Lindsay Mabry and I would be fisticuffs in the corridor. That would be awesome.
Anyway, IcemanManiacs.com, I put together a feature about the affiliation, lots of information about the cities of Ottawa and Binghamton, plus the Sens and B-Sens franchises. Some interesting trivia here and there. For example, Binghamton and Evansville share some sports history. Binghamton used to have a pro hockey team called the Icemen.
Now, is that where we kind of borrowed that whole thing?
No,
from?
We didn't borrow the name. We borrowed the logo. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, the logo was borrowed. The name was not. But they had the BC Icemen from 1997 until 2002. And before that, they also had a pro baseball team called the Triplets. From 1923 to 1968, so some interesting shared history between the two cities. Looking on the ice, some players we may end up seeing in Evansville via the affiliation. The sure bet of the bunch is goaltender Scott Greenham, who is on an AHL deal, and he is fifth on their depth chart. They have 4 guys under NHL contract who will take up the 2 spots in Ottawa and the 2 spots in Binghamton, which means Greenham is a lock for the ECHL. He is 27 years old, starting his 3rd professional season, played most of last year with Elmira last year under Coach Mullins, with a .321 goals against average and a .904 save percentage in 27 games.
I'm not sure if I saw him last year or not. That's all I got.
Great.
Dude, you wanted to, this great insight. We don't even have training camp yet. What do you want me to go? I've never seen this guy before.
You probably did, but your Etch-a-Sketch brain is
no, forgotten. I would have remembered. I remember them all. I don't think I saw them.
Brandon Wong, a forward who is on an AHL deal, also a 27-year-old. He is entering his 5th pro season. Played in Europe last year, but before that played 3 years with Greenville in the ECHL and had 161 points in 185 games. And if you take out his rookie season, the second and third years in Greenville, he was basically a point-per-game player. So if he trickles down to the ECHL, that will be a nice piece of the puzzle.
Definitely.
Danny Hobbs, another forward on an AHL deal. He's 25, starting his third pro year. Last year, he had 35 points in 52 games with Elmira and 3 points in 13 games with Binghamton.
Saw him. Nifty, not anything, not extraordinary speed or extraordinary size or anything, just a solid player, just hard worker, never stopped.
Solid second line type of guy.
Yep.
Danny New, a defenseman on an AHL deal. He's also 25 years old and starting his third year. Last year, he had 11 points in 22 games with Elmira and 13 points in 31 games with Binghamton. Name ring a bell?
Nope.
Daniel New?
Nope.
Neither. And a couple guys under NHL contract who spent significant time with the Jackals last year. Jacob Kulik?
Sulik. He is smooth. Silky. Typical foreigner finesse guy. He's awesome.
30 points in 49 games with the Jackals last year.
I would love to see him in Iceman jersey.
Really?
That would be nice.
And Troy Rutkowski, a defenseman who had 9 points in 41 games with the Jackals last year.
Similar to a Donnie Harris type player. Solid, stay-at-home defenseman. Physical, I don't remember him throwing any fights or anything like that, but just a real solid defenseman. I think I only saw him one game last year.
So there you have it. None of those guys have been officially assigned. They won't until AHL camp is over, probably. Maybe Greenham will get sent down a little earlier, but for the most part, we'll just have to wait and see who officially comes down. Could be some of those guys. Could be other guys that, you know, as new guys come in every year,
Yep,
everything shuffles around. Every season is different. So just because these guys spent significant time in the E last year doesn't mean they will again this year. And there may be guys last year that spent significant time in Binghamton that they just don't have room for this year.
You're looking for me for all this great in-depth study, but training camp's got to happen.
And you
got to be able to follow it. And you got the prospect camps too. So what prospects in their first year are going to make it to an AHL contract and not get sent back to Europe or whatever else. Mm-hmm. Now all the juniors have to go back to juniors. They got to play in the NHL or they have to go back to juniors.
Yeah, they can't go to the minors.
So, but you have a couple of guys and then, and even that rule is you can still play 9 games in the NHL and be sent back to juniors. So you may have a couple, Ottawa may keep 1 or 2 of their junior players and that'll force guys down to the A, which will force guys down to us. Knowing that after 9 games, these guys are going back to juniors and everyone gets recalled. So, but it's competition. It's camp competition. It's where all the fun happens, and hopefully we do get some help.
Yeah.
So.
And that's where Mullins being involved with the organization and having a solid line of communication helps, because not only will Ottawa and Binghamton feel more comfortable talking to him and sending guys to him, but the more involved he is, he can – look at their roster and say, hey, you got so-and-so who's been sitting on the bench. He's been in the press box for 2 weeks. I saw him at camp, and he looked good. You can send him to me, and I'll give him some action. Yeah. And, you know, he can be proactive in getting some talent sent down, perhaps, that otherwise would just be sitting in the press box in the AHL.
Mullins was at the draft with the Ottawa Senators as well. Not that he was making picks or anything like that,
but
he
just
was
there. Cool.
Rap Masterpiece Theater, the segment that you came up with on a brainstorm and it taken over the nation.
Yeah. For those who've not heard one of these, go to IcemanManiacs.com. You can listen to all of them that have been done so far. These are a piece of work. And I have to give credit. I mean, I came up with the concept and I did the intro and the outro, but the segment itself, the part where Steven Rickard is rapping, quote-unquote, he does that, he records that on his own time, and any of the production that takes place, sound effects and stuff that are added in, he does that on his own. So, tip of the cap.
He brought it to life.
Yeah.
You had the idea, but he brought it to life.
Right. So, tip of the helmet to Mr. Rickard, because he's been doing an awesome job with these, and I think this is another example of awesomeness. So, Will Smith's 46th birthday is tomorrow, Thursday the 25th, and Alfonso Ribeiro, a.k.a. Carlton, just turned 43 on Sunday. So I think it's only fitting that this is Steven's spin on the classic theme song of a certain show that first hit the airwaves. Here's one that makes you feel old. 24 years ago this month. This is Steven Rickard, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Iceman Insights and Tata Tunes Productions present Rap Masterpiece Theater. Some know him as Jam Master Stevie Steve, while others call him Rap Master Rickard. He's straight out of Muhlenberg County. The man, the myth, the lyrical legend, Steven Rickard.
Now this is a story all about how my life got weird and was all but still. I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'd like to tell you how I became a tater in a town called Evil. In Muhlenberg County, born and raised on the radios where I spend most of my days, chilling out, maxing, relaxing all cool, and watching some match game on the TV after school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started to think there would be some trouble in my neck of the woods, I got a phone call and my mom got chilled and said, "You better be a tater in a town called Evil." I whistled for a Zamboni, and when it came near, the license plate said Blizz, and it had dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say the Zamboni was rare, but I thought, nah, forget it. You blizzed the Ford Center. I pulled up to the Ford Center on October 18th and yelled to the bear, "Yo, Blizz, smell you later." Looked to the arena, and I was finally here to play with a crowd as a tater in Evil.
This has been Rap Masterpiece Theater, starring Steven Rickard. Tune in next time for another hip-hop classic. Until then, keep it real, homies.
Youthink has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, Youthink has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our Youthink family of supporters.
Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
Wrapping it up, Michael Shockley, Derek Benigni, Iceman Insights, only on the Amusement Park at 96.9 FM Wired Radio, or on podcast.
Yeah, depending on how you're listening to this.
Before we get into segment three, just a couple of things of note. Austin Medeski, former Evansville Iceman, played for the Columbus Blue Jackets last night against Pittsburgh, as well as Tom Kuhnhackl, property of
Gesundheit.
Exactly. Kuhnhackl is sick, crazy sick shot, but he played with the Wheeling Nailers, and he played for Pittsburgh last night. So starting to see some of these ECHL names that we've watched and played against now starting to get some opportunities. Trent Vogelhuber was the first Evansville Iceman that ever laced him up in a NHL game. Granted, it was preseason as well last year for the Blue Jackets.
It's cool to see as this organization has grown, how the fans are embracing that concept of watching guys, not only former Iceman players, but former rivals. You know, you're seeing people are interested when a Mickey Lang signs an NHL training camp tryout deal and ends up in the AHL, and that's the whole point of this developmental system is watching guys work their way up the ladder. And you may not see a single superstar play at this level, but if you see a guy at this level and he ends up, you know, even if it's just a cup of coffee, playing a few games here and there in the NHL, that's pretty cool.
Yep, I agree. Brian Patafi, Tweet of the Week.
Iceman fans can follow Iceman Athletic Trainer and whatever else he's using as his title these days.
Hockey Administrator.
Yeah, that. Brian Patafi on Twitter. That's B Patafi, B-P-A-T-A-F-I-E. He's also on Facebook now, by the way. This was when a certain Flying Sasquatch was re-signed. He said, quote, "Hey, Iceman fans, I have good news and better news. Good news, Guy Lapine just re-signed. Better news, saving the team a lot of money on shampoo this year."
There was also a classic Guy Lapine tweet, but I can't remember what it was. It was earlier this summer, It was like him and Dylan Clark joking with somebody. Or
I think Larkin chimed in somewhere, too. There was something.
Yeah.
It was something with very broken French-Canadian English, which, since you're half French-Canadian,
yes,
you know
exactly.
how that is.
Exactly. Changes in the front office.
Yeah, we got some, the front office and the radio broadcasting situation. The team has announced that after, what was it, 4 seasons on WEOA?
Yep.
The official flagship station for Iceman Radio Broadcast is now WJLT 105.3, which is now ESPN Evansville, formerly the Classic Hit station, but it flipped to All Sports earlier this year, and now one of those sports is going to be the Iceman. 50,000-watt signal. So
it's a massive station.
You can get them anywhere within about a 50-60-mile radius. So, the Iceman radio network may no longer be needed. It just, hey, tune to 105.3 because everyone within 60 miles can get it, which that is awesome. And with them being part of the Town Square Media family, you know, they're KISS FM and 3 or 4 other stations, you know, GBF and GBF AM and FM, and a couple others are all under that same banner. So there's a whole lot of cross-promotional marketing power there, which is awesome. But not to take anything away from WEOA, you worked closely with Ed Lander last year, and it was amazing, talk about growth, to see the way WEOA changed over 4 years from being this little bug lamp of a station that had squat for a website and a stream that when more than 3 people listened to it, it went down. And by the time end of last season, the stream was generally reliable as long as there weren't technical difficulties in the booth.
What? What are you talking about? It's just a couple of F-bombs.
Yeah. But the stream was better. The website was better. They had an FM simulcast.
Actually, I don't think the stream ever went down. That was the problem. It was
too good.
Yeah, it was the TV America One feed that was the problem that caused frustrations for me that boiled over into.
But so the team is no longer with WEOA, but they did a fantastic job for 4 years now with ESPN Radio, which is awesome. And they said at the press conference that the Icemen are now the only team in the ECHL that has an ESPN Radio affiliate as their flagship station. So that's cool. And also, the team announced that Sean Pooley is the new director of broadcasting. He'll be handling not only the radio broadcasting, but also some marketing, some sales, the website, social media, all that stuff under one banner. That was part of a restructuring of the position, which was formerly, at least some of those duties, the broadcasting part, was handled by my broadcast partner here. So any thoughts on the time that you spent in that position, and what do you think Sean will do going forward?
I think Sean will do a fantastic job. I had an absolute blast last year, but pretty much just came down to the fact that too many people were complaining about not enough Iceman insights, so I couldn't do it both. So I had to give up the gig.
You had your priorities in order now.
Friggin'
right?
Facebook driving me crazy. So awesome time. The coolest thing is the players. They are all fantastic guys. Just treated me well. Good guys to be around, both at the games, working, and away from the games. We had tons of fun last year, so it was a fantastic thing. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I am not going to miss one bit trying to sleep on that friggin' bus in that captain's chair. Freezing up there because Scotty Too Hottie's got the cabin of the bus cranked down to 46 so he doesn't fall asleep while he's driving 12 hours to get us to our next game.
But will you miss spooning with Matt Krug?
Well.
Are you going to go supplant Bob Chase in Fort Wayne so you can spoon with him some more?
You've always got to have a plan.
So for those of you who were tuning into this show hoping with Derek would throw the organization under the bus, that's just not going to happen.
I'm an Iceman fan. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to Evansville.
Yeah.
So I just love the fact that that we have an ECHL team here that I'm watching a Thomas Larkin and an Austin Medeski, and these guys are cracking NHL lineups. And what's going to be really nice is I'm going to see 36 home games this year, and I'm going to do a damn bit of work.
Are you gonna just go to the games as a fan, or are you gonna do all by officiating at all?
No, I'm just going as a fan.
Cool. Where are you gonna
slash work for Iceman Insights.
Well, yeah, prep.
I don't know.
Where I'll sit. I like to wander a little bit. I got so many friends there that it's fun just to...
You can bounce around. And,
yeah, I like to go from seat to seat. So,
the first
social butterfly.
The first time Guy Lepine fights, are you going to start a Flying Sasquatch chant?
No. That was one of the... If I could take anything back, I would take that back first over the two or three F-bombs I dropped. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was just... Yeah, I was trying to say Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I got Flying Sasquatch. If I said Jimmy Superfly Snuka, it would have been better, and it would have been forgotten about.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
Coming soon!
Guns N' Hoses Hockey, Saturday, October 4th at Swander Ice Arena. Doors will open at 7, and the puck will drop at 7:30. Tickets are $10, available in advance at the Iceman office, and they will be available at the gate at the Swander box office the day of the game. Probably starting about an hour or so before. All proceeds go to 911 Gives Hope. This is an awesome cause, and last year was an awesome game.
Yes, 3-2.
Yeah,
game-winning goal.
Last minute game winner.
Eric Tanner.
And the place went nuts when that happened. I don't know that they can top that, but it will still be a fun time. It's going to be an old-school night at Swander. I will be spinning the tune. Steven Rickard will be on the mic. Steve Habler, as you like to say, will be working the clock.
I fix that.
And the on-ice officials, according to Kyle Fernette, will be Brian Vall, Chad Beefcake Burley, and Lindsay Call Me Mabry.
Yep.
Is it actually Mabry? Is it supposed to be Mabry?
That might be another one that I've mucked up.
Tommy Mason says Mabry, but who knows?
She's a Senators fan. Who cares?
So, yeah, Guns N' Hoses, it was pretty much a sellout last year, and I would imagine with more promotion, it will sell out this year. So get your tickets in advance at the Iceman office. If you don't want to get them in advance, get to Swander early. Get there at 6:30 because that's about when they will go on sale, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's sold out by 7 when the doors open. So it's going to be an awesome time. Are you going to go? You're not officiating, but are you going to go?
No, we have for Youth Incorporated our, I don't even know, 17th annual Buddy Walk. So I will have duties with that. So
gotcha.
That's what I will be tied up with on that Saturday.
You said duty.
Nice.
Keeping it classy. also coming up, Iceman training camp and preseason games. Training camp is October 5th to the 9th at the Ford Center, primarily at least. The full schedule is still to be announced. Wouldn't be shocked if a session or two ends up at Swander, but I think it's going to be most or all at Ford Center again. And then preseason games are at Fort Wayne on Friday, October 10th, and Saturday, October 11th. And then at Indy against the Expansion Fuel on Sunday, October 12th. That is an afternoon game. There are a bunch of Iceman fans that will be hitting the road to support the team during the preseason.
Yeah, that...
Especially Sunday. I think we're going to end up with 40 or 50, maybe 60 people at the game in
Indy. To see the new arena and the new team, boy, that sounds like a fun trip. I might have to jump on that one as well.
Yeah, I haven't finished all the code and everything yet, but you will be able to purchase tickets for the Fort Wayne games on IcemanManiacs.com within the next day or two, and I'll have the information up there for Indy as well. Ordering for the Indy tickets will be directly through the Fuel website, but I'll have all the information up on IcemanManiacs.com by the end of the week. So if you want to go catch the Iceman on the road in the preseason, you just can't wait till opening night, that's how you can do it. So it's going to be fun. The Indy game especially, I think, with seeing the Expansion Fuel, seeing the Coliseum redone, and 40, 50 maniacs sitting together in the corner, it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to overwhelm some of the new players on this team.
Yeah.
How many fans we have following the team on the road during the preseason, they're going to think, boy, these people are crazy, which
they are.
Yeah,
regular season
starts with the home opener on Saturday, October 18th, 7:15 against Gwinnett. So that is now less than a month away.
That's awesome.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right,
the dangling tangent.
We finish the show with a quick off-topic because we just don't go off on enough tangents already. But we really haven't gone off on that many tangents this show.
Just the French Canadian. Well, yeah. We're trying to. I had to read you the riot act on Facebook, but we're trying to professionalize it up a little
bit. Yeah, just a tad. Trying to keep it at an hour. So the tangent this week: the West Side Nut Club Fall Festival is just a couple weeks away. So my question for you is, what are your favorite fall festival foods?
That would be beer.
And?
I don't get the fall festival. I don't.
Really?
I'm a foreigner. I'm from Detroit. I just...
That means you suck.
I don't get it at all. So the only time I go down there is to go to the Gerst house.
And drink.
Yep.
All right,
so,
then.
So well, fall festival or non-fall festival...
You go to the Gerst house.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Any
other favorite haunts out there on Franklin? It's such a cool area with so many of the local businesses that have popped up. And...
Yep. No.
just the Gerst house.
So... That's all I got. Well, the Apollo Liquors down the street. Actually, I do get a kick out of walking around that area. So there is some of the strangest houses, some of the strangest architecture in and around the hills on that west side of town.
Oh,
so
and there's some very interesting yard art and garden gnomes and that kind of
stuff. There are some fantastic man caves in the garages, and there's some beautiful churches as well, too. I mean, there's some really cool stuff. So,
you've been exploring other man's caves?
Yep. But so what are your fall festival food favorites? Do I like Pronto Pup? Is that something?
No, I'm not a big fan of the fried stuff. Everybody talks about the fried stuff and like the exotic weird desserts and stuff. I don't do that stuff. I go out there and I get boring stuff. Like there's a booth that has grilled turkey sandwiches, and I love those things. And you know, if there's a booth that has just hamburgers that are made with Daywig beef, I love Daywig's beef. I don't know what they do to it, but it's delicious, and
they do a great job processing. Yeah. Is what they do to it.
So yeah, I get the boring stuff. The corn on the cob at the USI Art Club booth. If you've never gotten it, there's several booths that have corn on the cob, but go to the USI Art Club booth, because if you like corn on the cob just smothered in butter, that's where you need to get it. And it's only like $1.50 in a year. It's awesome.
My favorite by far Nut Club Fall Festival story is marrying John and Jessica Legate. We did a Monday afternoon wedding. We did it here at the Wired Coffee House. And after the wedding was over, wedding party and friends and family went to the fall festival.
Really?
Yep. And it was super cool. We had an absolute blast.
That's awesome. I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy the food, but I also enjoy it's a really fun place to people watch. For both positive and negative reasons.
When I first moved down here and I was working at Deaconess in the chaplain program, and we had to go through orientation and everything else, and they mentioned that they saw a dramatic increase in sexually transmitted diseases in November, and they could not figure out why is there this spike of sexually transmitted diseases, and then they figured out, oh, the fall festival is a month before. So there you go.
Wow.
How about that for some advertising?
You've just ruined the fall festival for me. You son of a...
You're the one that brought up people watching. There you go. Final thoughts. There you go. Follow that up.
I have none. Next show will be in 3 weeks, October 15th, the Wednesday between the end of training camp and the start of the regular season. We're going to talk about whatever's going on between the ECHL and the CHL, whether it's going to be a merger or...
I'll have to get an interview with Ryan Huff.
Yeah.
Holy cow, he's like blog journalist.
Yeah.
He needs to come up with his own analytics-based hockey... he'll be set.
That requires math, and he's the reason we have the math is hard catchphrase.
Oh, is that from that assist thing?
It might have been from Jacob Franklin. I don't know. They're the poster children for math is hard. So we'll talk about whatever's going on between the ECHL and the CHL. Right now it's just rumors, but the season's coming up. And
I want to talk rosters.
By October 15th, we'll know.
I want to see how this Iceman roster stacks up compared to what we're seeing around the rest of the league.
Yeah, hopefully.
Reading has reloaded. They picked up that Mike Marcoux from Greenville. Solid two-way defenseman, and they could be interesting. So
yeah, we'll talk rosters. We'll talk whatever's going on between the leagues. We'll talk home game promotions, whatever else is on the docket. We went 2 months before this show, and we managed to cram it into an hour. So
talk STDs. We'll have it all.
Yeah. It's the STD Minute with Dirty D.
He is Michael Shockley. He joins us every week on Iceman Insights.
Every
check
week?
Out.
Seriously?
Yeah. He joins us every show on Iceman Insights. You can check out his work at IcemanManiacs.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All your Iceman information only at IcemanManiacs.com. Dude, that was perfect, and you left it hanging.
I'm speechless because you didn't screw it up.
I told you,
wonderful.
I'm good now.
Good stuff.
I know what I'm doing.
You didn't.
It took me 72 games with the Iceman to. I now know what I'm doing.
Clearly, you didn't go to the Gerst house before this show.
Not yet.
That's for after, right? All right. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.